morning. Once again, I hope you all are having a wonderful day so far. I know we're missing a few, but we're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. So nonetheless, that's what we're going to do. I did want to clarify what I said in the announcements. There's nothing wrong with praying for those who are non-Christians. I didn't mean to say that there's something wrong with that. I only meant to say that we should as well pray that they might find Christ someday by getting better. That's all I meant. So I'm sorry if you misunderstood me on that or if I said it wrong. So just a little clarification. I want to make sure that everything I say is right according to God's Word. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 is where we're going to be located today in the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And I did say something Wednesday night as you turn there, that I love this congregation for its prayer requests. I love how this congregation and how this group of Christians here is a people that believes in the power of prayer. I absolutely love that. And I commend you for that. And I know God commends you for that. I know that you believe in the power of prayer, that you believe that your God helps you through the trials that you go through in life. To me, that's encouraging. To brethren who I can tell that about you, that's encouraging. I absolutely love that. So I just wanted to mention that as well for those of you who weren't here Wednesday. That is a beautiful thing about you Christians. That's a beautiful thing, and I hope that you're proud of yourself for that. That you believe that your God takes care of you and hears you. So I hope you're happy with yourself about that. That is a beautiful, amazing thing. That is definitely something that God attributes to you and recognizes in you. You are a beautiful people of prayer. So 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 there. Let's just read it as a whole and see what it has to say. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We've talked about persecution quite a bit in the time I've been here. But one statement that I want you to remember every day of your life is what Paul just said there, and what ultimately the Holy Spirit just said. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How often do we realize that our trials, that the times of weakness, that those hard times in life that God might allow us to go through, that those are actually for a purpose? Those are actually to make us stronger. How often do we remember that? In those times when Satan can either grab you or you can continue to follow God, in those really, really hard times in life, those are times for training. Those are times for strength gaining. Those are actually times to make yourself better. And sometimes, and we'll get to this and talk about this a little more later, but we think about pain as an enemy. Pain as ultimately a danger in every way. But something that I have come to learn in my life is pain is not really so much a danger, but it's more so a teacher. Pain is a teacher. How often do we think about it like that? For the Christian, pain really is a teacher. You know, all things work together for good to those who are called sons of God, to those who love God. Romans 8:28. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know that God does the best for you as a Christian? Whatever you pray, whatever you have need of, God might say no to you. Might say no to the prayer that you're asking. Might say no to, God help me, God stop this that's happening, God make this happen instead. He might say no. But do you realize that that's for the better, it's for the best of you? You might not know what's to come in the future. We really don't know what God knows as far as the future goes. But when we have those thorns in the flesh, when we have those thorns as Paul had and was asking God, take it away from me. God sometimes says no. God sometimes says no because He knows what's best for us. And of course, He knew what was best for the Apostle Paul. So we all struggle with different things. We all struggle as we've been having prayer requests. We all struggle with different cancers, with different illnesses, with colds, with maybe losses. We struggle with all these different things that come upon us in life. And we all have different stories, don't we? We all have different stories in life. We come from different places. We know different people. We live at different places and we experience different things. And we pray to God for different reasons. And ultimately, God does the best for us. Whatever happens, God's going to do the best for us. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Christians' infirmities strengthened the Apostle Paul. They actually strengthened him. That last statement that he said there, "For when I am weak, then I am strong," in verse 10. Do we say that? And if we do say it, if we do remember that, how often do we remember that and know that? That trials, that infirmities, that they strengthen us. I want you to kind of understand what's really happening here. There in verse 7, read it with me once again. "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Paul had a problem. Paul had some kind of physical infirmity. He had some kind of issue that he was having. And sometimes we might know this throughout the Scriptures. He kind of indicates this to be a problem with his eyesight. That may be what he's talking about here, or it might not be. But ultimately, he did have an issue physically. And what he was asking here of God in verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. God, take it away from me. God, take it away from me. God, please take it away from me." Verse 8. And then what did God say? Verse 9. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Your words there are outlined in red. That's actually Jesus most likely talking there. God knows what's best for Paul. "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you find it interesting how Jesus, how the apostles, they would all suffer almost constantly throughout the New Testament? Through all the accounts that we read about with them, through the Acts, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. They were suffering, they were being thrown in prison, they were going through all these different types of perils, as the books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians even indicate as well. All these epistles, they talk about the struggles that Christians go through. That these persecutions that were coming upon them. Don't you find it interesting that these always kept happening? They were consistently happening. Don't you find that interesting? Why do you think that was constantly happening, all these trials? Why do you think? Was it not to train the Christians to be better? You think that God could have been using these trials, could have been using maybe attacks by Satan, obviously controlling them so they didn't go too far, 1 Corinthians 10:13, he doesn't let us be tempted beyond what we're able. But you think that he was allowing some of these things to happen so that would better us as Christians? Obviously not letting us being tempted beyond what we're able? Well, of course. Of course. God could have been, well, certainly was, allowing some things to happen so that it would be able to better Christians, that would be able to strengthen Christians, because we know that we're made perfect in weakness, that we do gain strength from that pain that we might go through. Pain is not always a bad thing. We discipline even our own children with pain, don't we? We discipline our own children with pain. Whether it's by a lash, whether it's by taking away something, that pain does what to them? It teaches them, doesn't it? Well, what does God do for us as well, for maybe us as adults? Doesn't He also teach us? Doesn't He also allow scenarios or situations to happen so that we might be taught? Yeah, He certainly does. He allows things to happen. And that's not saying that God is bad in any way. Don't misunderstand me. God ultimately does use those situations to let us be trained through pain, through those things that happen to us, through those struggles, those thorns in the flesh, as He did with Paul. He uses those situations to help us, to better us. And He doesn't let us be tempted beyond what we're able. Your God wouldn't let that happen to you. He does care for you. Christians, as He said, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God ultimately didn't take it from Him there so that He wouldn't be exalted above measure as an apostle of Christ. If you think about Paul as an apostle, Paul was inspired. He had the Holy Spirit. He had even the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He could heal. He could do all these different things. He had the gift of prophecy. He knew what God wanted him to tell him all the time. Paul really, he wasn't lacking anything. Paul had it all. Well, he didn't have the physical. He didn't care about it. But he had the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How awesome. And then he was also an apostle. We know that sometimes in Scripture he would say how he had authority over really everyone, all Christians. As even the Jerusalem Council in the book of Acts had authority to really proclaim what needed to be said because they were inspired to the church. So Paul had this as well, and God ultimately said that He's giving him this here so that he won't be exalted above measure there in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be lifted up way too high. Lest that I should become prideful. How often might we become prideful because we have so much in this life? How often do we might need a step back? How often do we might need a step down from our pedestal? How often might I need to get off this pulpit here and maybe stand there? Because I'm not the best thing on earth. I'm not the greatest thing on earth. I'm not the greatest thing this world's ever seen. Pride can get to us. Just as it might have gotten to Paul, guess what? You ever realize that this is actually God protecting Paul? You ever think about that? This is Paul being protected by God. How so? Because God is taking away this thorn in the flesh. Well, He's not taking away. He's keeping it there so that he's not exalted above measure, so that he's not becoming too prideful. God is humbling Paul. He's keeping Paul in perfect humility so that he doesn't be tempted. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. 5, 6 through 8. Read it with me. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did Paul do that? Did Paul cast his care upon God there? In 2 Corinthians 12, yes, he did. Verses 7 through 10, he absolutely did. And guess what? He cares for you. Did he care for Paul? Yeah, he did. He did. He even said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And he wasn't going to take it away from him, that thorn in the flesh. And then what's the reason there in verse 8 of 1 Peter 5? What's the reason? Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You think Paul could have been devoured? Is that thorn in the flesh stayed? Or if it was taken away, rather? Yeah, he could have been devoured, the Apostle Paul, because he would have been exalted above measure, as God was even prophesying, telling him, if I don't take this away from you, Paul, you're going to get too proud. You're going to be exalted above measure. Paul, I'm trying to help you. These things that God does for us with these trials, it's actually God protecting us. Do you realize that? So God might say no to you sometimes in a prayer. God might tell you no. Not literally, but He might tell you no by not letting what you expect to happen. Why? Because God knows what's best. Because God is trying to take care of you. He's trying to protect you. You ever think about it like that? We might think about pain. Well, this is bad. This is awful. This is terrible immediately. But not always is that the case. Sometimes there's something going on behind the scenes, isn't there? Sometimes God knows what's best. Actually, He does all the time. So Christians, keep that in mind. As Paul knew, and as Paul was answered by God, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. And we need to realize that as well. What God has planned for us, what God has in store for us, we don't know now all the time. But He does, and He takes care of us. He protects us. So He does keep those thorns in the flesh sometimes, and He does let us go through trials. Even sometimes in the Scriptures, it's said as chastening. God does chasten us. He does, even maybe in a way, discipline us like we would discipline a child. And why is that? To train us, to better us, to strengthen us. And He doesn't let us be tempted beyond what we're able. So does your God protect you? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. So of course you read there God's response to trials that we endure was 2 Corinthians 12:9. But James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, let's turn there as well. James chapter 1, turn there with me if you will. James 1, 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. Read it with me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Did you hear what it just said there? Stop there for a second. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How often do we do that? Continue on. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What was Jesus trying to tell us to do? Wasn't He saying be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect? Wasn't He perfect just as His Father is perfect? We're supposed to be doing the best that we can. How does that happen? Does that happen just by us alone, or does God help us with that? What do you think? Does He help us or not? Yeah, certainly He does. God helps us. Did you see what it just said there? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, produces what you need in order to be able to resist the devil, in order to be able to resist things like pride, in order to be able to resist things like being the angry one in the room, being the hothead in the room. Guess what? Is God protecting you? Yes. Yes. God is protecting you. He's taking care of you. He is taking care of you even with thorns in the flesh, just as Paul had. The writer of James there understood that. Likely this writer of James, I'll just mention as a side note, is the brother of Jesus. Actually not likely the apostle James. He was likely the brother of Jesus because at this point, most likely chronologically, James' head would have been cut off. Did you know that happened to the Apostle James? That's terrible. That's a terrible thing, right? Horrible. But guess where James is right now after having lived a faithful life? His physical head may have been torn from his body. That's a terrible thought to think about. But guess where James is? Your brother. Your brother in Christ, an apostle of Christ. Guess where he is? Who knows in this room? We all should. He's in heaven. He's in heaven, a.k.a. paradise. He's in paradise with Moses, with Ezekiel, with Noah, with all the ones who went before him, with Samuel, the prophet. He's with all of them, with Ruth, Boaz likely, all these different people. David, they're all meeting together. They're all there together. And guess who they're waiting on now? They're waiting on heaven and they're waiting on us, aren't they? They're waiting on the rest of the Christians. They're waiting on the rest of the children of God to come. James is there. Paul's there. Are we going to join them? So those thorns in the flesh, they're there to protect us, Christians. They're there to help us. The next time you pray to God and you say, God, please take this away from me. God, please help me. I need some help. Yeah, certainly He's going to help you. But is it always in the way that you expect? No. Sometimes He will let you go through fire. He will let you go through absolute fire in life. And why is that? To train us, to melt us with fervent heat, to strengthen us, to better us. God will let us go through these really, really hard situations in life. Yeah, He does. To better us, to help us. We don't always feel good now. Pain doesn't feel good in the moment, does it? It doesn't feel good immediately. But that pain will train us. It will tame us like you would a sword as you're a blacksmith, like you're making a sword. That pain, that heat, that will make that sword strong. Well, it does the same thing with us. The Word of God, God Himself, providentially, He'll help us and train us and make us as sharp as a sword. How we need to be in order to fight off Satan. And that's a beautiful illustration. That's a beautiful way that you can put it. That is what God does for us. He does protect us. 2 Corinthians 12:10 there. Let's read it together once again. 2 Corinthians 12:10 in our main text. Therefore, let's read verse 9 again. Verse 9, back up. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Read verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. This is Paul's response. This is Paul's response to God's answer. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is usually our response whenever God doesn't give us what we want? What is it? Now I'm talking personally to all of us. God, why won't you help me? God, why won't you assist me? Why won't you get me through this? God, help me right now. And then you get angry at God. Maybe you question God in different ways. Then maybe you walk away from God for a little bit. Why? Why? Don't you know that the testing of your faith produces patience? God, why won't you give it to me right now? Rather say, as verse 10 there, therefore, I take pleasure. I take happiness in my infirmities. I take happiness in the struggles I go through and the trials that I go through in life. Why? Because it makes me better. Because it strengthens me. Because it helps me in life. Because no matter what happens in this physical life, the only point that I'm trying to get to is heaven. We're all trying to get to heaven. Do you realize that? This life is a test. This life is not about this life. You get what I'm saying? It's about that one. It's about heaven. It's about going to paradise. So re-shore up your focus. Your focus. Shore up your focus. Make sure it's on heaven. Your thorns in the flesh are helping you, Christians. They're helping. They're assisting you. God is helping you in that way. He's trying to protect you. Realize that. He's not attacking you. God isn't going against you, Christians. He's not going against you by maybe allowing you to go through things, getting you out of situations immediately. Your Savior died on a cross. He died on a cross. God Himself died on a cross. You think that was painful? You think that was a thorn in the flesh? A little more than a thorn in the flesh. He died for it. The apostles likely all died for the same cause, the cause of Christ. Did you read what Paul just said there? I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and needs, and persecutions. Why? And distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. Do you take pleasure in infirmities, and needs, and reproaches, and all these different struggles and trials for Christ's sake? Do I? That's a challenge to all of us this morning. That's a challenge. I hope, Christians, that you are encouraged. I hope you're encouraged by this message and you're challenged to look at struggles and pain in life, not always as a danger to you, but to look at it as a strengthener, to look at it as a trainer. As you would tame a sword, God is trying to ultimately tame you like a sharp sword. God is trying to help you. He's trying to help you because does He know the future? Yes. He knows what's going to come tomorrow. He knows what's going to come the day after that. He knows what's going to come next week. He knows what's going to come next month, what's going to come next year, what's going to come in the next 10 years. He knows if you're going to be in heaven in the next 10 years. God knows it all. So who should we leave it up to? We should leave it up to God and quit letting the worry and anxiety and depression and stress and all this, blah, 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 affect us right now. Don't let it affect you right now. Why? What are we living this life for? Is it for us or for Christ? Is it for God? Yeah, it's for God. We do everything we do for the will of God, not for ourselves. Realize that He's trying to help you, Christians. Excuse me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'd like you to turn there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I want you to read this for yourself. Please, please, please do turn there and read this for yourself. Romans 8:28. Let's start in verse 18. We're going to read quite a bit here. Verse 18, I want you to get everything you need to know. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Verse 26. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That beautiful verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. Read everything before that. Read what's after it. But everything around that verse, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. He makes intercession for us. He does it whenever we can't. He helps us even whenever we can't talk. You realize sometimes in life you're on the floor and you can't talk because you're in so much pain. Guess who does know how much pain you're in, who's going to help you anyways because you're a Christian, because you're a child of God? Guess who's going to help you? It was in what I just said. God is going to help you. Sometimes I can't utter words. Sometimes you're in so many tears you can't utter words. You can't get it out of your mouth. Guess who knows your heart? God does. He knows your thorn in the flesh. He knows your heart. And He's going to help you. Whatever way that is, He knows what's best. I don't know what's best for you, ultimately. You don't know what's best for you, ultimately. You know that? God does. God knows what's best in everything. Why? Because He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future at all times. He knows you personally. He knows your heart. He knows you better than you even know yourself. That's your God. That's the God that's taking care of you, Christians. Thorns in the flesh, rejoice over them. Count it all joy when you suffer in various trials, like that bug walking on the floor right there. Whenever I see a bug, it used to terrify me. I hated bugs. Don't pay attention to it. But bugs, I used to have a fear of them. So they were my thorn in the flesh. But guess what? After so many years of being afraid of them as a child and being trained up, I eventually tormented me daily. Why do we go through fears in life? Why do we go through struggles in life? So that we might be able to conquer them. So we might be able to conquer everything through Christ who strengthens us. Through the struggles we go through, we are made perfect. That's a silly example. A silly example. But Christians, the trials in your life, I want you to remember this lesson right here by what I just did. I want you to remember this. The struggles you go through in life, God knows what's best. You won't always have it your way. But in a way, you do have it your way. How? Because God is protecting you. God is taking care of you. So step down from the pulpit for a second. If you can't even speak, God will do it for you. He'll help you. You know that? Christians, I know we have trials in this life. I know we go through it. Life is not easy. But I am trying to help you today. God is trying to help you today. I'm just a mouthpiece. These thorns in the flesh that you got, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This life is about getting to the next. Make it about that. These thorns in the flesh, you need them. You need the pain. You need the suffering. If you didn't, God wouldn't let you go through it. Is God a good God? Is God a loving God? Yeah. He sent Himself, His own Son. He sent God Himself to die for all of us, to go through that pain. Yeah, He's a loving God. He knows what's best. And He did what was best even with Jesus for us, for our sake. 1 Peter 5:7. We've already read it, but I'll read it as the last verse. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I want you to do that now. All right? I want you to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Who? God. I want you to pray to God, as there were many requests made this morning. I want you to pray for those you need to pray for. I want you to pray for everything you have need of. And when you can't even pray for it, God even knows. He even knows what you have need of before you even ask Him, as Jesus said. The lesson is yours this morning, brethren. I hope you remember this. I hope you remember the lesson that was just given. Not from me, but from God. And I'm not saying I'm God. Don't misunderstand me. The lesson that was given from God's Word. Understand what I'm saying. If you have any need this morning, if you are dealing with anything in life, if you have a thorn in the flesh that you need strength with, that maybe God's even allowing you to go through, and you need strength in getting through it, God's still protecting you. He's helping you anyways. But you need to pray for it too. Come to the front and let us pray with you, because every one of us have thorns in the flesh. Every one of us. Let us pray with you and help you. And don't let these worries and anxieties and depressions affect you for another day, because it's affecting you as a Christian. It's hurting you as a Christian. Get rid of it now. If you have any need at all as a Christian, come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, believe Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of sins. Confess Jesus is the Son of God before men. Be baptized, immersed into water for the remission of your sins. Romans 3:23, all of sin falling short of the glory of God. You need remission of sins. And then you will be added to the kingdom of God as well by being baptized there. And then remain faithful until death, James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10. You will receive heaven. You will receive your glory and your reward. The glory of God and the glory of heaven. If you have any need, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus. the God.